Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving to us the truth of your word, and we pray that as we come to it this morning, you would open our hearts afresh, that we would see more of you and more of your grace as we seek to live in this world with and for you. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, last week I heard about a tree in the primary school grounds here in Ferriby that had fallen onto part of the social club, the former British Legion. Now, it happened during the strong winds that we experienced a week or so ago. The debris has all been cleared up now without major incident or damage, but that tree reminds us that sometimes, under external pressure, objects which are expected to be stable sometimes succumb. Now, there are other objects or structures which seem resilient, whatever is thrown at them. They stand firm. They are not moved under pressure. I had a phone call this week from a photographer in the village who has recently received a qualification from the Civil Aviation Authority to fly drones commercially. And he asked if he could take pictures of the All Saints Church building here with his flying aerial camera. Well, I didn't see any problems. And later, he sent me some pictures of the building from the air. Now, the construction of All Saints was completed after 3 years' work in 1848. So for 170 years, the tower and octagonal spire have withstood all that the East Riding weather can throw at them. Incessant rain, hail, snow, sleet, and many, many gales. For almost 1¾ centuries, the 50-metre-high tower has stood firm. It has held fast. It has not moved and has stayed secure. Well, as we look again at the New Testament letter of 1 Thessalonians, we find this kind of idea applied to Christian believers, to those under pressure. The need to hold fast, to stand firm. But how are Christians able to do this? Well, do turn to 1 Thessalonians 3. You'll find it on page 1188 of those black church Bibles, 1188. Now, over recent weeks, we've been learning from the message given by the Apostle Paul to this new church plant in the great Greco-Roman commercial centre of Thessalonica. Now, these people from various backgrounds had been changed by the good news of Jesus. They had started very well, as we've seen in one of the key verses of the letter, chapter 1, verse 9. They had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. As we saw last week, these people had received the word of God passed on by Paul and his team, and they had accepted it, not as the message of people, but as what it really is, the message or word of God. The gospel message had worked in these people, and they had been brought together into what was a great illustration of the gospel's power, a diverse local church community. Now, Paul and Silas and Timothy were filled with gratitude to God for this great miracle that he'd brought about. But as we also saw last week, the mission team had tried to get to Thessalonica, but had not been able to, even though they valued these people so highly. The team felt that they had been torn away from these Thessalonian believers. They were like concerned parents anxious for their children, who they had been separated from. They were desperate to know that they were doing okay. And this provoked them to send, at significant emotional cost, one of their team members to visit. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Now, this concern for these new believers was especially acute because they knew that as they sought to serve whilst waiting, the Thessalonians were under great pressure. Pressure that, in human terms, they were very vulnerable to. They were in danger even of collapsing under the onslaught, like that tree that fell on the social club. They were in danger, it seemed, of giving up and returning to their old largely empty pagan lives. Now, Paul and his co-workers were very keen that these new converts in Christ were, if you like, not like the school tree that fell, but rather like the All Saints Tower here, able to withstand the winds and rains of opposition and challenge. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish you in the faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. Their desire was to find the Thessalonian Christians, verse 8, standing fast in the Lord Jesus. Now, it is just worth taking a few moments to think about what the pressure was that these believers were under, because so often we as believers in the 21st century face challenges that are connected. Well, there are sometimes trials of various kinds. Paul tells the Thessalonians that he longs for them to stand firm so that, verse 3, no one be moved by these afflictions. Like them, we can face opposition from people whose worldview opposes the good news of Jesus. And there are sometimes afflictions of other sorts in life, difficulties in health, in relationships, with family, challenges at work, and so on. In human terms, these afflictions or trials might move us, that is, move us away from Jesus and the good news. So we need grace from God to establish us so that we are not moved by these afflictions. But we can also be discouraged by the difficulties that other Christians face. These afflictions that Paul speaks about may well have involved afflictions that the mission team were facing, and knowing about these things, the Thessalonian believers were rather downhearted. So Paul reminds them, verse 3, "For you yourselves know that we were destined for this, these trials. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know." Now, we thought last week about the reality that it's easy to feel that things should always be hunky-dory. In fact, we need to remember that we live in a broken world where there will always be, before Jesus returns, some measure of opposition, sickness, difficulty with people and threats. Jesus, in John 16, as we read, goes on to say, "In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You will face difficulties. And so Paul says something similar. "For you yourselves know that we are destined for this." It's part of life in this world at this time. But there are also difficulties because we have a spiritual enemy. Verse 5, "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain." The devil will try to tempt people away from Christ. Again, we saw last week that he tries to hinder the cause of the gospel. He will also try to confuse and lure people away from the gospel using many tactics. We need to be aware of that reality and be able to stand firm against him, knowing that we are on the victorious side of Christ, who has beaten evil on the cross. I was speaking recently to a vicar of a church in central London. It's a very big church, numbers-wise, way beyond anything that we could imagine in our region. It's a church with many ministries serving the people of that great city. A church that has also planted around 20 new churches and congregations in recent years. He rang me to encourage us in our area after the Renew conference that I mentioned a few weeks ago, the movement working towards pioneering, establishing, and securing healthy local Anglican churches. Now, in this conversation, this vicar of this very large church said to me, "You know, people might not think this, but we always feel very vulnerable. Once or twice a year, a situation arises which makes me wonder if our church will survive. You see, we shouldn't be surprised that things will sometimes be difficult. Like the Thessalonians, there will be challenges and difficulties. There will always be threats to us from people of various sorts, or even from the devil. So if Christians and churches are constantly under threat and need to stand firm, not being moved, standing fast in Jesus, what will help us? Well, in the time that we've got left, we need to see that there are three things that our passage points us to. And the first is the need to be strengthened by the truth. And we thought about the comparison of a building like the All Saints Tower standing fast under the pressure of severe weather. And for this to have been the case over 170 years, the tower has not just needed a sound design and good construction materials in the first place, but also regular maintenance and strengthening. And this is the sort of thing that Timothy was to provide for the Thessalonians. Verse 3, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother, to establish you in the faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. If we are not to be moved by the pressure that we're under, we need to be established in the faith of Jesus, strengthened in him, so that when, as Paul puts it in Ephesians 4, we are in danger of being tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by the winds of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes, we will nonetheless be able to stand firm. Chapter 2 reminded us that Christians are those who have received the word of God for what it is, the word of God. And that gospel word continues to work in us. Well, then we need to keep hearing and dwelling on God's word from the Bible so that we're strengthened, so that we can stand firm. We, as it were, need the regular maintenance of learning from God's word of truth so that we can be strengthened under pressure, that we can stand fast in affliction or discouragement, that we can discern errors and not be taken in by Satan's temptations. To stand firm, we need, in building terms, strengthening, establishing, consolidating, and being built up in the truth of Christ. And this will involve taking God's promises and holding on to them, chewing them over, reminding ourselves of them. It will involve remembering regularly who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what he will do in the future at his return, something that is such a key theme of this letter. It will mean being encouraged by God's visible message, his visible word, the pledges of God's grace and love as we share bread and wine in Holy Communion as we do this morning. So we need to be strengthened through the truth if we're to stand firm. But also, we have a need for human encouragement. God does not just usually drop truth from the skies in a parcel that we undo and are then strengthened by them. So often the truth of the good news and the reminders of God's word come through human agencies. Do you remember what the apostolic mission team did when they were concerned about the Thessalonians standing firm? We sent Timothy, our brother, to you. A human messenger came. And why did he go? We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. Timothy was to see them consolidated by sharing the truth and by exhorting them, encouraging them, comforting them, giving them a push, G-ing them up. If Christian service is to involve, as the start of chapter 2 showed us, being like a caring mother and an instructing father, well, both of those characteristics will involve exhortation and encouragement. And this is something that we can all do for each other to strengthen us under pressure. A thoughtful card with a Bible verse on it, a sensitive gift, a quick phone call. All these things can give a real boost and make a real difference in the struggles of life. Well, finally, in order to stand firm, it seems that there clearly is a need for prayer. If we're to stand firm, if we're to see one another and other believers we are concerned for standing fast, then Paul's example here, illustrating many New Testament commands of looking to God in prayer, will be involved. Having sent Timothy, Timothy came back and brought a very positive report, verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For we now live if you are standing fast in the Lord. And this report provokes great gratitude to God, verse 9. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we might see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Well, what is the content of this prayer? This prayer that is very much a model for us to use, as Adam was alluding to at the start. Well, after Paul has prayed unsurprisingly that he might be restored to them and he might be able to go and visit them, as we see in the book of Acts some 5 years or so later, he was able to. God answered that prayer. The prayer makes clear that there is a need to pray for love. Love to increase and abound for one another and for all. Without love, it's unlikely that any believer will stand firm, and certainly no church community will. For we constantly need God's love in Jesus to overflow to us, and indeed beyond us, to all types and kinds of people that we encounter. And the prayer ends, verse 13, that the Lord Jesus might make love increase, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. What a great prayer that is to pray for one another, that we would be established. It's the same word that Timothy was to establish them in the faith. We pray that one another, we would be established, that we'd be strengthened to stand firm, knowing that when Jesus returns to fully rescue us from the wrath to come, he will also perfect us, fit for the perfect, holy new creation, heaven come to earth, that he will bring. In these words, there's a great encouragement to remember that ultimately God will establish us. God will help us to stand firm to the end because of his love and grace in Jesus. So Christians in this fallen world will face pressure. How do we avoid being overcome by such pressures, like the tree in the school grounds falling in the recent winds? How do we instead stand firm, like our church tower, not being moved, but standing fast in Jesus and the gospel? Well, we need to be strengthened through the truth of God's word, established in the faith. We need human encouragement, being exhorted and comforted in God's truth by God's grace through others. And we need prayer, that the Lord Jesus might make love increase so that he may establish our hearts blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. And that roots us in the reality that it is God who by his grace that will ultimately make us stand firm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we think of the pressure that we're under, the pressure that those that we're concerned for are under in all kinds of different ways. And so we pray that you would give us grace, that we would be established, that we would stand firm. Please root us in the truth of your word. Help us to encourage one another and help us to pray that indeed your work would be complete in us, and that you would give us confidence as we face the future. So have mercy on us and give us grace, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.